Chapter 9. Lord Myrak. From the balcony of his tower, Efrix watched the Stormcast Eternals make camp. The bowl of gold showed him nothing useful at all, and he was forced to rely on a telescope. It was not as efficacious, of course, but through its crystal lenses, he could at least count the men waiting on the plain.
207, he said.
He included in that number the winged figures looping around the fort at a safe distance.
And more on the way!
Lord Myrak of Manticoria stood by the sorcerer, eating delicacies from a wide silver platter. He spat pips from his mouth over the side of the balcony and took up the leg of a fowl. With it, he pointed to the northwest and the southwest.
There! I count two more forces coming for you up the Silver River!
Efrix swung his telescope to the points Myrak indicated. Sure enough, heavy plumes of dust rose high into the orange sky. To make matters worse, a fresh storm gathered over the Bright Tor range. Thunder growled in the distance.
You say they arrived by lightning? Said Myrak. Oh my, you are in a difficult place, my friend.
He laughed. Efrix looked up from his telescope. Myrak was a huge, broad-shouldered man with a heavy-set face beneath his bald scalp. The sorcerer wrinkled his nose and bared his teeth. Efrix wisely hid his irritation from Kairos, but he had no qualms at all at displaying his anger to the likes of Myrak.
That may be, but it is they who are in a difficult place, not I.
How so?
Asked Myrak. His tone made Efrix's skin crawl.
They have no idea of the might of this fortress.
That's why you need me,
interjected Myrak.
And they have led us right to the Silverway,
concluded Efrix irritably.
Have they now?
Myrak raised his eyebrows.
Is the Silverway outside your gates, then, Mage Efrix? Because that is where our enemy appears to be.
Do you doubt my word, Lord? Look through this telescope and you will see the gate yourself. The illusion has been lowered.
Efrix swung the telescope around to point to the revealed Duodin city, hazy with great distance, but visible if you knew where to look. Myrak pointedly refused to take the telescope.
I always doubt your word, sorcerer. You are bent-minded. I'd no more trust a word you said than I would believe the whispered promises of Tzeentch himself. I see what you claim to be the Silverway, all right. But I will not believe it to be so until you take me there and step through it with me.
It is no illusion. It is as plain as the nose on your face.
In that case, how very embarrassing that it was upon your doorstep all this time, said Myrak mildly. When did you take up residence here again?
You provide your service to me, and I will pay you as we discussed, said Efrix.
Yes, I'm sure I will. Only to find that King Thrond is already on his way to the gate. That would make you clap, seeing us at open war.
If he is, he will not break through until we have slain the Sigmarites upon the walls of this fortress. Do you really believe Thrond is mighty enough to better this army? You do not. Otherwise, you would go there yourself at this moment. Oh, do not play the fool with me, Myrak.
Efrix waved his hand.
I have no need to trick you. What do I care if you have the Silverway or not? It has never been my intention to leave this place. I remain only to perfect my fortress.
They would tear it down if I were not here, said the Lord. Having seen this enemy, I should press you for greater payment. You are rich enough in gold and magic.
You shall have the Silverway. Be grateful of that. I shall be content with my buildings of flesh, steel, and stone, while you rampage across the 8 realms.
That I will. It's been too long since my warriors were tested. This moulding of worlds holds no interest for me, said Myrak. It is tedious.
Then it is for the good that our interests diverge, snapped Efrix. Or we should forever be at each other's throats.
Myrak laughed. With his teeth, he tore the flesh from the bird leg, exposing a bone made of a light silvery metal. He leaned out of the window and tossed it upwards. There was a loud snap as something on the roof caught it.
Very good, Efrix, but I cannot help but feel that you are hiding something from me.
Efrix affected to look guilty,
Nonsense.
Go on, tell me. Let us while away the time until these warriors come to fight. Amuse me with your convoluted schemes.
There is no scheme.
Myrak slapped Efrix on the back.
There is always a scheme, sorcerer.
Oh, very well. For long years I have sought to perfect the defences of this fortress.
Myrak smirked.
I know that.
To which end I have transmuted the many skulls you have provided me into copper.
I know this too. Did you think I was unaware what you did with them?
You really do have a low opinion of me.
You are better informed than you suggest, said Efrix. Into these skulls a measure of the power of the sun and the ether are funneled at daybreak.
Then all this I know too, said Myrak smugly. And I know of the thing you keep below. This artifact of order you parasite upon and pretend is not there. I know of the slave army you gathered to build this place, the ogors you blinded who fashioned a cairn of lead around the item. Why would you need to do that?
He asked with mock thoughtfulness.
But you do not know what it is,
said Efrix. It was his turn to be superior.
I do not, I admit. None who have seen it kept their sight or sanity, and most have been dead for hundreds of years. However,
he looked out at the warriors marshalling in the vale.
I can hazard a guess. I may be a dullard compared to you, Efrix, or so you seem to so fondly think, but I am possessed of a modicum of wit.
Well, then,
snarled the sorcerer,
then you will know also that once this energy reaches a critical mass, this fortress will never fall.
That I did not know either, but have long suspected, said Myrak.
He popped a mewling blood grape into his mouth and bit down with relish.
It's only because you show no interest in its span in your holdings that I allow you to pursue this aim, you realize.
Oh, he is so satisfied with himself, thought Efrix. I will see him choke upon his own tongue.
Myrak was ignorant of the skull's true purpose. If he was aware of Efrix's plan to annex Chamon to the Realm of Chaos and gift the entire realm to Tzeentch, then Myrak would certainly not be here. As devoted to Tzeentch as Myrak insisted he was, he had little desire to take up residence in Tzeentch's crystal labyrinth personally. Efrix's agile mind considered that Myrak might in fact be bluffing, and that he knew what the artifact was. If that was so, the chances were high that Myrak had come here to assassinate him at his moment of triumph. Efrix discounted the notion just as quickly as it had formed, and revealed none of this through word or gesture or mien. He spoke conspiratorially instead, as if he were sharing his deepest secrets with the Lord of Manticoria.
These beings are all of magic. I could taste it when I fought them myself at the Silverway Gate. I have seen them die, their bodies streaking away to wherever they came from when they fall. That I can exploit. We shall slaughter them, and I shall capture their essences in my vessels of copper. The Eldritch Fortress will become charged with their magic until no creature of any plane will be able to breach my defences, thus keeping all our lands safe, Lord Myrak. If I am successful, the gods themselves would not be able to cast down this castle.
Myrak's eyes narrowed. He shook a six-fingered fist at the sorcerer.
You are wrong there, Efrix.
Efrix's heart skipped a beat. Could it be now that this prince of dullards would cast aside his mask of idiocy and strike him down? Efrix brought a spell to the forefront of his mind, ready to turn the lord's brain to lead.
Really, my lord Myrak? How so?
It will be I that does the slaughtering, while you cower in your keep. I will not allow you to forget that.
Myrak stepped up to the edge of the balcony and climbed upon the balustrade. He balanced there a moment.
Remember, sorcerer, when you perfect your fortress of flesh, steel and stone, that you are able to only because I, Lord Myrak of Manticoria, permit it.
Myrak leapt from the balustrade, his clothes snapping in the wind. A piercing shriek rippled the gold in Efrix's scrying bowl. A huge manticore leapt after its master with a crack of leathery wings. A moment later, It laboured upwards with Myrak in the saddle.
A modicum of wit, you say? Evidently not,
whispered Efrix nastily. Clouds scudded across the sun, the forerunners of a storm. Efrix shivered. War was coming to the Eldritch Fortress. He went to prepare his magics.